141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard as we get set for a big night of European action in amongst the closing stages of the transfer window. Martin O'Neill remains optimistic. Celtic can do the business with 5 days to go. Tomorrow it's all about beating Utrecht and trying to progress in the Europa League. As for Rangers, nothing to be gained really in Europe. They're away in Porto. We'll give you the latest from the camp as Danny Rule takes part in his press conference. And speaking of that title race, David Martindale, an interested observer, thinks Hearts will win the league. I'm Gordon Duncan, and joining me tonight, they've obviously not fallen out in the last week. We've managed to reunite. It's another Partick Thistle takeover in the studio. It's Tony Watt and Alex Ray. What's happening?
Yeah, absolutely. Looking forward to the games tomorrow night. Gordon, still a possibility that Celtic can qualify and get into the next round, whereas Rangers are just playing for pride. Will they go away a weakened team? And we've obviously got the Martin O'Neill speaking about the appeal that never worked for them. So there's plenty to talk about.
Yeah, absolutely.
No fallouts between you two this week after the refereeing debacle last week.
The training's been at it as well, and I've took a step back to the shouting. I've been waiting 5 seconds before I shout, son, and my team's been doing all right.
You'd tell a toddler to do like count to ten.
Well, if the shoe fits.
For him. if the shoe fits. Because he can't get to ten.
Get to six and go back again.
01419511025. That's the number that you need, so let's hear from you. Lots happening, as the guys have alluded to, so why not share your thoughts? Every day this month we've had a good old discussion and debate about the transfer window, but it shuts on Monday. We really are getting close to the end now. Martin O'Neill speaking about it again. He does remain optimistic that things can be done. Hopeful are these the right words? The problem is, I get the feeling for you Celtic fans, there are no right words at the moment. You just want to see the scarf above the head and then you will know. So what have you made of another day without a signing? What have you made of Martin O'Neill's explanations about it all? And what are you thinking ahead of that game tomorrow? Because it's almost like we've only got room for so many big stories. The transfer window, the title race, you'd be forgiven for forgetting just what's on the line tomorrow. Beat Utrecht through to the next stage of the Europa League. It is that simple. And that's a big deal generally, but it feels like lots of focus going on to the transfer window and the Premiership title race. It would be day four of the Austin Trustee fallout, if you've still got the appetite, because Martin O'Neill was asked about it, and that puts it back into the news agenda. So same number, 01419511025. Rangers fans, in terms of Europe, it is a case of, what are you playing for? Are you all about the coefficient then and the confidence and that sort of thing when you go away to Porto? Maybe for you in the transfer window, what about these reports yesterday and last night then? Supposedly serious money getting bandied about for Gassama, for Chirmiti, and the club apparently not interested. Would you be interested, or is it right to just keep the team together regardless of any of the sort of money that is thrown about? Let us know your thoughts in the closing stages of the window as well. And same to fans of every club, really, because we've all got our dreams, we've all got our wish lists of what we'd like to see our team add between now and the end of the window. So get your calls into us, please, and we'll try and go through it all. You Hibs fans as well, they were on the receiving end. They rejected a £5 million bid from Hellas Verona for Kieran Bowie as well. So next few days should be interesting.
Yeah, without a doubt. I very much expect Celtic to do some business, Gordon. I think it's been a very quiet window. They've brought the fullback in and then the big striker, so I still expect them to do a little bit of business. I don't think two will cut it with the Celtic fans, possibly one or two more with Rangers. And it was really interesting listening to people talk about potential fees being offered for Rangers players so soon into the Rangers tenure. So, but I think they're trying to build at the moment, and I wouldn't expect them to let anyone go out the door.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think, going back to the Celtic one, I know we speak about it all the time, but if Celtic beat Utrecht tomorrow, they go from needing two or three in to four or five in for me, because there's so many positions they need to cover playing Thursday to Sunday. The league's the bread and butter. The money, if you go through in the Champions League next year, could be the difference between Rangers really pushing on with the investment they've had this year. I think Celtic will need to go and build a bigger squad. You go look at Rangers, for me, so far they're winning the transfer window. I said Hearts are obviously preparing for next year. They've signed a couple. They signed the right back who looked decent, but I think Rangers are ahead in the transfer window at the moment, and if they can add one or two, they'll be sitting pretty.
Do you think four or five is a realistic possibility in the next, what is it, 5 days now?
Yeah, five days.
I don't, but I think, what have they confirmed? Two? A striker on the right back?
Yep.
They still need another centre half. They need cover at left back if Sarachi's not going to be fit.
He trained today.
So that takes that away. At the weekend, you need a midfielder. Hatate never got on. They looked weaker in midfield. I don't know if it's to do with the game on Thursday. Maida's not a number nine. The boy comes off, Chunran Chara. They need somebody to back him up. And then...
You've done brilliantly.
Good practice on the training ground. And I think they probably need a left winger. Now the boy Sarachi's back, I didn't know that. If Alistair Johnston comes back, but the thing is, are you waiting until March to get him back? Was it 12, 16
I think
weeks?
The suggestion is centre-back, right-winger and striker. That's the suggestion. Not to say that you can't have more
I think
more
you maybe
up
need a midfielder
sleeve.
Because I think Negrin, for all the goals he adds, sometimes he is better further forward. I think you probably need a midfielder because what have they got there now? McGregor, Engels, Hatate.
But as Alex says, it comes down to like proper priorities, doesn't it then? Because if you can get five in the next 5 days, brilliant.
Yeah.
But realistically, you know, what's absolutely top of your list, and that's what all clubs will be going through at the moment, which should be good fun. So 01419511025, transfer window, two different games tomorrow in terms of Celtic have got quite a lot on the line, Rangers less so, but there's always something you can take from a game there. And fans of all other clubs, it'd be nice to hear from you as well and your transfer thoughts. It is only Wednesday, so you're kind of in that middle point. There might be something left over from the weekend that you haven't quite got off your chest. You might already be looking forward. The thing I've liked about this window as well is you look at some of the other names in the league that are being mentioned, whether it's relation to Celtic or Rangers or both or elsewhere. Tawanda Maswanisi, Kieran Bowie, these types of names are getting mentioned over and over again. So calls in right now, please. And we look forward to speaking to you all between now and 8 o'clock. To be kicked off, though, by Michael in Blackwood. How are you, Michael?
Fine, thank you very much, and thanks for taking my call.
Pleasure. What made you call tonight?
And thanks, panel, as well. It's a transfer policy at Celtic. I mean, it's every time. It's no just once, twice. Rangers getting by players. You pick the paper up. Hearts has bought players. MD's bought players. No us. It's the same old all the time. A club the size of Celtic. Where is the recruitment there? I mean, I know it was a disaster with the other manager, Nancy, and that. Tisdale. Mm-hmm. Who gave him the job? I mean, I'd love to know who gave that guy the job. A guy who was away doing the Exeter and that. And this is us springing on to where we are now. Every day you get up hoping to see, there'll be somebody signed. And if there is somebody in mind, somebody else is after them or somebody else is after them, and right away, you know what I mean? I just can't understand that, like probably thousands of other Celtic fans. What do the panel think about it?
But I think Michael's probably summed up at least the feeling, Tony, of it is that every day. Because I'll do it from a professional perspective. Michael's doing it from a personal perspective. Loads of other Celtic fans. There is only 5 days left. Every day you keep wondering. Because yes, and that's the unforgiving nature of it. Chavanchara was in and was done. So it's okay, what's next? That was, I don't know, what was that, 5 days ago, say? What's next? What's happened in that 5 days, and what's going to happen in the next five?
We keep repeating about time, don't we? Chavanchara done alright the weekend in terms of for the goal, but he did look as if he didn't know much about his teammates. You could see he wasn't fit enough to play. When he went off, Celtic lacked holding the ball up. I think when you bring players in, especially in January, you look at players like Scott Olsen, who hasn't played a lot of games, he'll maybe take a couple of weeks, but Rangers got him in a few weeks ago, last week or whatever. He'll be ready for the first week in February. Celtic need now. They are clawing back a, what, 6-point deficit? Is it 6 points on Hearts?
Mm, yeah.
So Celtic don't have the luxury at this moment to go, we'll bring in three players and they can kick it on in March, or they can do all right in Europe and maybe not do well in the league. Celtic now for the next 6 weeks probably need to be flawless, because if Hearts dip, you've got Rangers to worry about. If Rangers dip, you've got Hearts to worry about. And they need to bring in players a week ago, probably. Now, they're probably going to need to sign a player every 2 days now. They're going to need to bring in three, like you said. Ideally, Celtic fans will pick a squad apart and say maybe five, maybe four, but they're going to need to bring in three, and you're not really seeing a lot of links like you used to do. You're not really seeing whether that's a good or a bad thing. I think Celtic fans would like to see a couple of names, Brandon, and you see the boy for Bodø/Glimt, but you're seeing Norwich, who are at bottom half of the Championship, are going to just blow them out of the water.
And he scored against Man City recently, didn't he? We're not wanting to make a decision on him until they play Atletico Madrid in a big Champions League game, so there might be a good bit of competition for his signature. Let's just, before we get any further, let's hear from Martin O'Neill. This is the latest update now. Martin O'Neill speaks to the press three times a week, more than that, in fact, at the moment. So it's like kind of constantly trying to see if anything's changed. This is the latest from him.
I think I said to you a number of times, we need to strengthen the squad. It's what we're trying to do. And whether we have anybody in for Sunday, I don't know. But we are making strenuous efforts to improve the team. And genuinely, I think that we can do something. Yeah, definitely can. And I know it's days are pressing and things like this here and that. That's very, very obvious. But I'm hopeful. January transfer window is exceptionally difficult. It always has been. I've known this year when I was in the Premier League, and it's a difficult market, you know, and particularly ones where you maybe are wanting some permanent deals. And you think you might have had more time in the summer to think about it. There's lots of names have been put forward, lots of people that I've taken an interest in. One or two have been thwarted, there's no question about that. But but we're still really working on it.
It must be a really difficult scenario for everybody, because Martin O'Neill saying it's a difficult window. Every single person who's ever been a manager, ever been involved in transfers, tells you it is a difficult window. They're not lying, yet Celtic fans, many of them, don't want to hear it. They, you know, it's just, however difficult it is, it's like, find a way. You know, that's kind of the feeling on it, it seems.
Yeah, and I think that goes back to the previous window. I thought it was a poor window when you look at the recruitment that Celtic did. They obviously spent a few quid in that window. But Gordon, I said at the beginning of January, it is brutal. It doesn't matter what level you're at, because we just mentioned there the boy from Bodø/Glimt. As soon as he becomes a potential option for Celtic, then you've got teams like Norwich who can pay whatever the weekly wages. They can match that, because obviously going to sell the boy Sargent. So the thing is, that's the type of market, but there'll also be about another three or four clubs on the back of that as well, who are going to batten at that kind of level of investment. So you're going to have that. So that guy's been playing regularly. He will be up to speed. He's been playing Champions League football, but you'll have to pay a premium for him. And whether Celtic do that in this window, which I wouldn't be surprised if it did it. Now, it's uncharacteristic of Celtic to do that in the January window, but because of the pressure that's been mounted on them, they need to get somebody in the door. But the problem you have is guys that have not played for 6, 7, 8 weeks. We've seen that with Olsen at the weekend, and they don't have that match sharpness. So you have to get them in the door, and that's right. Tony's absolutely right. You have to get them in the door. You have to get them up to speed. You have to get them into the style of play that you're looking to play on a weekly basis. And then you obviously have to try and get them up and running and win at the same time. So these are all the factors that most teams are actually doing.
Michael, thank you very much. What about Malcolm? 5 days to go of the window, Malcolm. How would you sum up your feelings?
First point I was going to get, I was trying to go on yesterday about the Gossam and the Juan Manisi conversation that was getting held. And the gaslighting expenditure of Rangers selling £10 million for one player and £30 million for the Tom Manisi is three times the player that Gossman is, and we're playing it doing that £3 million's enough for him. I think I'm in my team in a second.
Malcolm, if Motherwell can get £30 million for Manisi,
you're all for it.
You won't meet anybody happier than me. It just is what it is. It's that old thing about you're only worth what somebody's willing to pay, and I've seen, you know, I don't think anybody really is suggesting that Gassama's three times the player Masvanisi is, but it's
no.
Just
no, I don't think that's the way to look at it either, Gordon. I think, as you rightly said, it's what someone's willing to pay for him. And you know, I think if you look at Gassama, you know, he came in, started really well, but this boy's been consistent throughout the course of the season. So if you're looking at both of them, but again, it's who's going to pay the money for that particular individual.
Here's the interesting thing. Malcolm, and obviously Malcolm's a Celtic fan, and he's talking about the gaslighting over Gassama. I don't even think the Rangers fans are bumming up JD Gassama that much.
No.
I don't hear anybody. It just is what it is. I don't know the origin of it. I don't know what Monaco have seen to make the inquiry, whether it was a concrete bid or not. But I don't think this is all in response to everybody bumming up JD Gassama, because we actually get quite a lot of criticism for him in this show.
I think he gets treated a little bit harshly in terms of the expecting, because the strikers aren't scoring that much, they're expecting him to chip in. But I think he's more of a tidy player on the ball, getting at people. I don't think he's a massive numbers guy.
But he doesn't always even start games for Rangers at the moment, is the point.
That's the thing, and I think a big part of it as well is Rangers have come into a lot of money this summer. Whether they like to hear it or not, they've got the, is it 49ers behind them? They don't need to sell, and it's whether Motherwell need to sell or not, and I'm guessing Motherwell in a good position as well. But that's why maybe Tawanda's not going for 10 million, because nobody historically has paid Motherwell 10 million for a player. They don't need to.
Yeah, you're right.
But it's not, and it's probably going back to the Champions League thing. Motherwell won't be in the running for the Champions League next year to get 40 million. At this moment,
we'll see.
Maybe after the next couple of results, Rangers will be. So it's when they're knocking back bids or whatever, if they're doing it for Chirmiti, Gassama, that's where an eye on next season's prize of 40 million.
We also said this last night as well, and I know we are now really extreme with the fee. If you're Tawanda Maswanisi, you are saying to Motherwell, you're paying me 2.5 grand a week. You can't value me at 10 million pounds.
Yeah.
So there is a reality.
These boys are getting a lot of money, yeah.
Malcolm, so in amongst that though, as a Celtic fan, you said Maswanisi's one you would quite like to see.
I probably didn't make my point quite clear there. The mainstream media continues to go with this Gassaman and Chimiti at £30 and 13 million and 10 million. Not one of them is worth that, but we can keep dragging this up to make it look good. And for Celtic going
Malcolm,
into the market,
see this stuff, see this like obsession with like trying to think that people are bumming up your rivals. Nobody here, not one person in here has said Gassama's worth 10 million or Chirmiti's worth 13. Literally nobody in here has said that.
I know, but you just turned around and said Tawanisi's name worth 3 million, so surely
I said he wasn't worth 30. I said he wasn't worth 30.
The number
I didn't say he was worth
crazy.
3. Malcolm, see, before we go any further, let's both agree to not make up things. I did not say Maswanisi wasn't worth 3 million.
No, you said Maswanisi's worth 3 million, so how are we putting Gassama in the same bracket at 10 million?
Because it's not my valuation.
You hear the conversation about, oh yes, if he's worth 10 million, he's worth... Why are we discussing it at 10 million? It's just made up nonsense, really.
I don't think it's completely made up. That's the point. It's not my valuation.
You're only worth what somebody's willing to pay. And at the moment, somebody's willing to pay 10 million pounds for Gassama.
Malcolm thinks I think he's worth 10. I don't have 10 million to spend on him. I'm not saying he's worth 10 million.
That was a discussion in the chat was on yesterday, by the way. If someone's offering 10 million pounds for him, we're saying bite the hand off him. That was on the chat yesterday. But again, that's partly because you're thinking, right, okay, 10 million, that'd be a great piece of business.
But
you bring him in for
money.
And I know that, but the thing is, because of the form that he's actually hit, started really brightly, scored a load of goals early doors, not a load of goals, a couple of goals actually, and then obviously over the course of the last 25 games or something, he's scored 3. But you know, his consistency's been up and down a little bit, and I think if you're thrown 10 million into the mix, if that's the case, you know, a lot of people might say take that though,
and he might say, ooh, quite like you sound the Monaco. Oh, it's a nice place to live my life. Maybe not. Thank you to Malcolm. 01419511025. It's a good time to call. We'll get you on next.
Tackle the headlines. 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Alex Ray and Tony Watt are here. It's 01419511025. That's the number to get involved. Generally at this stage in January, most of it gearing towards talk about the transfer window. But two games in Europe tomorrow night. We're going to, not in the too distant future, we're going to go live to Porto and check in with Gabriel, who is over there. It's all right, that, isn't
it? Oh, stop it. He's annoying me.
See when the trip's booked already, and then it doesn't matter if it's a dead rubber and you still get to go.
Oh, it's tremendous.
Unbelievable.
What a stadium as well. Tremendously.
We'll cross over to him a bit later on. Talking transfer window, anything else that you want to bring up, that is the number. Give us a call. 01419511025. Tony is on the line. How are you, Tony?
I'm not bad. How are
you? Good, thank you. Good. What made you call tonight?
It's just on the topic of the Gassama and Chirmiti offers. For me, no money would get rid of Gassama than now. He's still young, and with Chirmiti as well, they're both young. What's the point in spending all that money on them just to get rid of them so early on?
So you think even 10 million, you're not, you wouldn't be, you know, no, hypothetically, you wouldn't be interested?
Nah, not a chance. So,
based on the fact that you think he helped, is the difference between making you win the league or not, or the fact that you think you sell him for much more than that in the future? What's the reason? Because it's a lot of money for a guy.
Yeah,
for, I mean, what would that be? Four times what you paid for him in the space of a few months when he's not even a regular, he's not like a nailed on starter either.
To be honest, for me, the two wingers should be Gassama and Scott Volson. I say maybe next year get rid of one of them, Chermiti or Gassama, but now they're worth 4 points off Hearts. I was on this show probably, I think it was October when Danny Rowe came in, and I said that even though we're that far behind, I was like, we could still win the league, and I've still got that faith in us. We've went from near enough the bottom of the league with these players, so there's really no reason to get rid of them, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, I get that, yeah, Alex, in terms of just don't if you don't need to, don't sell Endy. You've got yourself in with a real chance or a fighting chance of winning the title, so don't sell anybody. Can I get that as like a blanket
across
rule?
The board, yeah.
But like we said, there's clearly, if it, say it was 10 million, to repeat it, you paid a couple of million for a guy at the start. If you can make that profit on someone who is not a nailed on starter in your team within half a season, that's good business. But is it better business to keep them and try
and
win a league?
Well, again, I think it would be if you could get an adequate replacement in, and we know how difficult that is. Now, I think these offers, whatever they are, would probably be rebuffed, Gordon, because they've only been in the building. They're good age. I think he's 22, Gassama, so he's literally still learning his trade. His numbers are not bad now. If you get a wide guy getting into double figures, I would think that would be acceptable. And he also gets you up the pitch. He causes problems, and he also gets free kicks as well, because the slightest touch, he goes down. And, you know, with the set pieces that Rangers are producing at the moment, likewise with Hearts, then it's a big part of the game. So I would be very surprised if they cashed in on any, even though if the figures were right, you'd be thinking, oh, that's a real good bit of business. I just think with the window closing in 5 days, it would be really difficult to replace them.
Would be good business, though. We keep coming back to
it. I keep coming back to the Champions League money. I don't think Rangers have found that settled team at the moment. If you go back to 2 months ago, well, they were, or maybe 3 months ago, whatever it works out, I don't think they really need to upset the apple cart and take 10 million. They've got enough money at the moment, as they've shown by putting bids out. Thing with Gassama for me is you would like him to score a few more goals, but he seems to do all right. Like you say, he goes down easy, wins fouls, gets you up the park, he drives, he's like an old school winger, he drives at people, he comes inside. You've got to remember, he played in the Rangers team that were out of form, and his best position is definitely off the left, and he's been asked to play on the right a lot of the time. Mm-hmm. And I think,
so you with Tony on the line, that actually the way forward is to start playing him, but play him off the left, so
without
doubt, stick with it.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. And also, see if you go and win the league and you get offered 8 million for him in the summer. You lose 2 million, but bigger picture, you've kept your team together and you've improved. And I don't think Rangers, based on what I've seen the last couple of days, need to sell. And I don't think they want to sell. So I would, personally, I'd keep him for the rest of the season.
Tony on the line, can he be the difference between winning the league and not? Because there might be some Rangers fans, I don't know, they can give us a call out there, who think we could win the league without him, and therefore you take the money as well as not upsetting your chances.
Personally, I would say yes, we could win the league without him, but with the pace that he's got and the skill that he's got, there's obviously coming into, what is it, the last 5 days of the transfer window, mm-hmm, we're not going to get someone else in to replace him. We're sent Finlay Curtis out on loan, so we can't bring him in. There's not really anyone that we can bring in for him in that time.
Finlay Curtis isn't away yet. No, you know, no, everybody keeps talking about this.
Ryburn's raised it, was
it? I've seen something might be getting cancelled.
It's because there's been a lot of talk about it, but he's still there and he's still playing, and he came on at the weekend.
I thought he'd done really well. I seen him last week against the European team, Ludogorets, and I thought he was on the pitch, and they actually created two opportunities. I thought he's done more in a couple of minutes than the wingers have previously done.
Your learned colleague, Gordon Dalziel, that was his argument last night, was take the money because he thinks Finlay Curtis could do Gassama's job, basically.
Well, if that was the case, I think Finlay Curtis would have played a lot more under Danny Rule, and that doesn't seem to be the case.
Well, Danny Rule might not think it, but is there a case to say that that would smooth over the exit?
I think the Finlay Curtis coming off the bench and learning his trade behind a Gassama and a Scott Wilson is probably better for him at the moment than getting chucked in a deep end, maybe playing two games, coming out. I know it's a different conversation, but I don't think he's a bad one to have around the squad at Rangers and have them pushing the boys, learning for their boys. And see if Rangers, we go back to it, and I keep repeating myself, see if you get rid of your starter in Gassama, who's doing well, and bring in somebody that takes 6 weeks to get up to speed.
You've lost momentum.
Rangers can't afford that. They're now, Celtic can't afford it, and Hearts can't afford that.
Thank you to Tony on the line. Jamie in Belfast, did we just steal your thunder a little bit? I think I just glanced down at my screen. But the good news is, Jamie, you will be able to put that across much better than we did. So take it away.
Well, the way I was, is for a good bit of business, whatever, I think it was 2.6 million, I think we got him for. And as they sell him, if you got 10 million for him, 10 million plus, whatever it is, I would then, you're only saying your wee man for Motherwell's worth, but 3 million, you're roughly, I would give Motherwell 5 million for him. It'd be 5 million well spent. He's well worth 5 million. He's a brilliant, smashing wee player, and he fit into Gassama. No, and I wouldn't get rid of Finlay Curtis either, because I think he's got a lot to still show, and he changes all the games when he comes on. He's been a good player. He's been a, even at the start of the season, if it wasn't for Finlay Curtis, the way he was playing and helping with some of the goals that he was scoring, we would have been worse than where we were at.
I don't see that. Yeah, you know, Maswanisi coming off the left hand side. Gordon, wherever I've seen him, he's been right to centre. So again, you maybe try to shoehorn somebody in because you're thinking I'm going to make a profit on it. I don't see Gassama leaving in this window. And the one we've not mentioned is the boy Ant-Man. You know, he's played sparingly as well. So if you were thinking about trying to recoup some sort of money and to maybe reinvest in that particular area, you might want to try and get him out the door.
Would that be one you're maybe hoping that a Dutch club just sort of goes on
last year?
What he did over there? You can sometimes do that, can't you? Where they, not write off what's happened in the first 6 months, but they just assume that they can maybe recapture that in an environment that, because he probably is one that, and he's been injured to be fair, but he seems quite far off it now, does he not?
He doesn't seem to be getting on, does he? Yeah, if Rangers can get a bit of the money back or even a loan to buy, but even the Gassama one, was that not a loan with an obligation to buy in the summer? So they don't have the money to replace him now if it's a loan either.
I mean, you know the money's then coming, don't you?
Well, that's true.
The way transfer deals are structured these days is hard to keep up with.
I suppose not an option to buy, but...
Yeah, obligation.
I don't think they've got enough in the building at the moment to replace Gassama to start. I think him and obviously Scott Wilson now are the starters. You've got Finlay Curtis. Who else have you got pushing there?
Ant-Man would be on that right hand side.
And Mikey Moore sometimes.
Mikey Moore. But even at that, I think if anything, they could probably do with one more in rather than one out, even if it's to beef up the squad. I know ideally everybody wants a signing in, but I'm sticking with it. I wouldn't get rid of him. No, I wait till the summer, even if he loses 2 or 3 million, it's worth the gamble because the fruits of the Champions League.
Jamie, would you entertain anything for Chirmiti?
Nah, yeah, definitely would, yeah, because, well, he's scored big goals in the Old Firm game, fair enough, right, and that was, and he's done, he does all a lot of good work in the England, but he's not scoring goals. If you're spending 10 to 11 million for a striker, you're one of them to score goals at least. I mean, like, when we had, the strikers we had before him, we let them go, and we've got, the strikers we've brought in have just no up to the scratch, even the other boy at the front, he's the same. Okay, I mean, we need somebody who can score goals, and that's what I was saying about the boy for Motherwell, because he's scoring goals. He's proven he can score goals in the league. Okay, I mean, and that's what we need. We need somebody who can score goals.
It's interesting the Chirmiti, because again, I know there's then sort of mixed reports about whether it's actually a bid or not. See, the more I'll sort of work in this industry, and especially now, I think you get like transfer saturation a little bit, and see how sort of sneaky people can be with the language, where a club can maybe inquire about a player and float a fee and then say, but we didn't actually bid, you know, round and round you go. So we're hypothetical on here to that point. It's good fun. It's a bit of debate. If you could get a fee like 13 million for Chirmiti, that's obviously not a huge profit. It's not like the Gassama one. But there are a lot of Rangers fans like Jamie out there who think, you know, if you can even break even at this point, if you can knock that back now, does that mean you think you can sell him for
down the line
for 20 or I don't know what's the figure?
I've no idea what the figure would be, Gordon, but I think it would be that there seems to be shoots of better performances from him. You know, I think when they initially came in, he'd missed a few opportunities, and again, he's not turning it up in front of goal. But I get back to the point: if you sell him in this window for a couple of million uplift, I just don't see the reasoning why Rangers would do that, because what have you got left behind that? You've got Majewski, and then you've also got Danilo. There's reports saying that Danilo's going to go back to Holland.
Paphos was the other one.
But it looks as if Danny's on his way out the door.
And then Ryan Nadiri from Hansa Rostock is the team that the striker Rangers have apparently bid for as well.
So potentially they might get him in, but I think that's to complement Chirmiti and Majewski, because I think if anything happens to Chirmiti, then you're left with Majewski, and then obviously if you get this boy through the door. So I don't think carrying two strikers is enough for Rangers between now and in the summer with the stakes so high.
Bit of breaking news coming out of the Scottish Cup tonight. Sorry to bring back bad memories. I think we spoke about this when you were on the show last week. Rangers will play Queen's Park again. In the Scottish
great,
Cup
isn't it?
Because Stranraer have been kicked out of the Cup for fielding an ineligible player, which means Queen's Park have been reinstated and go through to face Rangers. So it was goalkeeper Lyndon Tass. He saved a penalty in the shootout. He was signed on loan from Hearts on the day of the game, but the match had been initially scheduled 3 days prior. It was postponed. The Cup rules state you can only take part in the match if you were registered for the original date. And I think first and foremost, it's so hard. I don't know if harsh is the right word with the whole rules or rules thing. It's sore on Stranraer for sure, in a number of ways.
Oh, without a doubt. You know, some of these players would never play against someone of that level. Financially for the club, the prestige, and just a day out, really. And it really is tragic, really, for them. Listen, we're not going away. Rules are rules. And it's unfortunate, because it actually happened to Queen's Park a couple of years ago as well. So they've obviously fallen foul of that particular rule. And, you know, it'll be a great day for Queen's Park. But thanks for bringing it back up. It's really cheered me up tonight.
As a player, the players will be devastated. The accountants, the bank manager looks after Stranraer will be distraught as well, I would imagine.
Yeah, the figures, obviously, I don't know. But like we spoke about last week, the money that just helps even bridge your gaps when you're paying out players, or even bring in a couple of players next year, they'll probably have that spent already, or it'll be plugging gaps somewhere. But I just think it's really harsh. I think there maybe needs to be a rule change, but if you break the rules, you suffer the consequences, and I think that's what's happened today.
Yeah, they're in the playoff spot as well, aren't they, Stranraer? So it would have been an opportunity to maybe bring one or two in to compliment them for the rest of the season.
0141 951 1025 if you want to react to that or anything else. And when we return, we're going to go live to Porto to get the latest from the Rangers camp. So get your calls in, and we'll do that after I tell you about this.
Clyde One.
How do you like the sound of a life-changing amount of money in £350,000? That is what's up for grabs on Friday. It could be in your account before the weekend even starts. So text YES to 61025. The texts are £250 plus your standard network rate. You can enter at makemeawinner.co.uk, where you will also find the rules for this network competition. You can call 03434 269 340 and the calls are charged at a standard rate. It is over 18s only. Lines close 5 p.m. on Friday, so please don't hang about. Text YES to 61025.
That. Taking your calls on Scottish football. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Alex Ray and Tony Watts are here. It's 0141 951 1025. Good win at the weekend for the Jags.
Yeah, difficult game. We obviously missed a penalty to make it 3-0, but
which turned it into a nervous.
Oh, well, to be fair,
to me, don't hit the penalty again.
No, but that's you have to say about Ayr. They obviously brought George Oatley and Maine and all that on, so they really threw a lot at us at the second half. Important 3 points, though.
Absolutely right. Get your calls in if you have any questions for the guys, then please get them in. We're talking transfer window, Europe tomorrow. Going to hopefully speak to Gabs, who is in Porto, in just a second, once we get that ironed out, because I think Danny Rule's not long finished his press conference over there. I think we had this conversation last week, didn't we? But this is now a diluted version. Or is it? Because I suppose Rangers were really out last week anyway. They're now just they're like officially that bit still there about the coefficient and that sort of thing.
Yeah,
trying to get some. I mean, if you go there and win that, what belief that would give you, even if it doesn't gain you progress.
Yeah, listen, I'll be fascinated to see how he goes tomorrow, Gordon. The old cynic in me was going, listen, play the fringe players, be fresh coming back into the fixture v Hibs and Sunday. They make it difficult at Easter Road. So if you play all the boys, all the travelling, it may well have a bearing on Sunday's performance and result.
Right, okay, let's do it. Let's go live to Porto and get the latest.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard European football coverage with The Drake, neighbourhood gastropub. Watch live sport in the west end of Glasgow.
Gabriel, take it away. What's the latest? What was the headlines from the Rangers camp this evening?
Porto press room here in Portugal. Now, it's strange on a big European week like this, especially the final game of the Europa League, to not actually be talking about the match, but we've just spoken to Danny Rule and Max Aarons, and the game was hardly even touched upon. That's, of course, I guess, one of the new things you get with these extra games in January and the fact that Rangers are already out. It was all about transfers, Gordon. Now, we've spoken plenty on the show about these bids for Youssef Tchimiti, JD Gassama and Emmanuel Fernandes, reported bids that, if totaled up, would be worth just around £30 million and all reportedly turned down by Rangers. And we asked Danny Rule, you know, what his take on this were, and he said it was very positive. It's a positive sign for the club that there is interest in their best players, but his message was very clear and very strong. Rangers' best players are not for sale this window because they are still in two competitions, of course, the Scottish Premiership and the Scottish Cup, and all eyes at Ibrox are focused on winning both of those competitions. He did say that the next 3 or 4 days before the window closes on Monday night, he expects it to be very crazy. He didn't give us an exact number on how many players they'd like in. We did ask him about the Hansa Rostock striker, Ryan Nadiri. He refused to be drawn on that, but did say that a striker is an area that they are looking to strengthen in. Incidentally, Danilo and Joe Rothwell both have not travelled to Portugal. Rule gave different reasons for this, but perhaps they might leave before the window closes as well. So very interesting from Rule, but the message is clear. The best players are not for sale.
Alex, how much of that is just a result of the situation Rangers have gotten themselves into?
Yeah.
You know, you were 10 points adrift of Hearts, or 15 points, whatever. What was the maximum it got to? It was big anyway. If they were miles behind Hearts at the moment, would you then be more tempted to sell? Do you think that's what it is? Do you think it's the fact?
Well, without doubt. However, I don't think the players would be as sellable as the current form.
And weirdly though, Gassama was maybe better at the start of the season. Yeah. I know he scored a great goal at the weekend, but he's the only one that bucks the trend a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely. And but listen, I've seen him in the last couple of games as well, Gordon. He's got something about him that gets after people. It does not surprise me that Danny Rowe went on record as saying none of the players are for sale, because what you're looking at Rangers currently is, so it's a group of players. The management team are all kind of going in the right direction. The results, 8 wins and the bounce, is all encouraging. And to sell players at this current time just does not make sense, for just to tear that up, to then go back to the drawing board and bring players in this, this 5 days. So for me, it's interesting because I think it will be crazy. I think they've been trying to get players out more or less all month. So Danilo and Joe Rothwell's not travelled. That would suggest to me that they potentially could be on their toes. And then obviously they're looking to maybe bring one or two in. And as Gabriel said there, a striker would most certainly be one of the priorities, because Danilo's probably going out the door.
Which means three sort of first team, if you like, carrying Tchimiti, Miovski and another Tony. Do you think is that what it takes? Do you think Rangers, although they've got all this momentum, all this form at the moment, is that the missing piece? Is that the priority piece? What is next?
If you can add a third choice, or even if that makes Miovski the third choice, and from now to the end of the season, Miovski can get 3 or 4 goals, this other boy can get 4 5-6 goals, and then Chamiti's number one. His hold up play's got better. His link, everything's got better. If he can score the same, if you can get between 10 and 15 goals between three strikers to the end of the season, I think Rangers are doing okay. And I think in a 4-3-3, the way they play, they probably need to run with three number nines.
Gabriel, what was the sort of mood around the game then? You said, you know, you barely got round to talking about it, which is understandable. I said, even for Celtic, although they've got a proper chance, there's proper incentive there, still the topic's dominated by transfer window and title race and all that sort of stuff. What is the feeling around the game if you did manage to get to it?
Yeah, I did ask Danny Rule what the main aim is of this match, you know, because they're essentially just playing for pride and trying to keep that eight match winning streak going. And straight away he came back and said clean sheet. That's the main aim tomorrow, is a clean sheet. And because that's really been the success since the Germans come in, has been built on defensive solidity, winning games by one, maybe two goals. So that is Danny Rule's aim tomorrow. I think if Rangers were to come home back to Glasgow with a 0-0, he'd be absolutely over the moon. And you could fully focus on the weekend and getting one or two players in and maybe three or four out of the window.
No interesting team news either way, was there, apart from what you said about, you know, players that hadn't travelled? There's no surprise injuries or anything, is there?
No, I think they'll be fairly similar to the weekend, other than Joe Rothwell and Danilo have not travelled. Perhaps they will leave. As I said, it was different reasons that Rule gave for them not travelling to Portugal, but they are both nearing the exit door.
Just one last thing before we go. I've had a message in from a concerned member of the Scottish press pack, because obviously what a joy it is to get to go those trips, isn't it? Seriously.
they're the best.
This time,
I love it.
This time of year, the weather here is rubbish. I don't even know what it's like in Porto, but you know, a chance to go away and the real perk of the job. Is it true that you've taken your girlfriend with you, Gabriel?
Yeah, that's true. Although she actually got here before me. She flew directly from Dublin and I was stuck in Amsterdam last night because I missed my flight.
That sounds like a bad excuse to me. What's the verdict on that? Is that a yellow card defence?
It's a red card. Blue card.
It's a red.
No, but listen, they are great trips, and
don't let them wriggle out of that.
Let me follow up. I was doing, as you know, for several years doing BT, mm-hmm. and not once did the missus go.
Gabriel, you know the Clyde One expense policy better than I do. You know that you're not going to be like, there's no romantic meal to be had on the type of money you're getting.
Don't worry, my girlfriend's not interested in romantic meals. McDonald's, no problem.
I think that's him. I hope she's not listening. Great plans for this evening. Anyway, thank you very much to Gabriel over there in Porto.
It'll be a tough game tomorrow night, Gordon, because
clean sheet, Daniel says.
Well, obviously that would be the ideal situation for him. However, Porto still got an opportunity to get into the top eight, which obviously gives him a bye with the next round. So I think Porto will be going all out to get the win.
Right, I think that just about brings us up nicely, almost perfectly. Thanks again to Gabriel. Rangers fans, if you've any thoughts on what you just heard, Celtic fans, there's plenty more mileage left in discussions about your game tomorrow. We've not even spoke about that, an actual sort of shootout to get through to the next round of the Europa League. Give us all your thoughts there, and we'll play this first.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Come on then, Beat the Pundit time. Tony Watt is, I'm going to ban you from giving away any of your company's socks, because you're going to bankrupt the company.
We're going to be in debt after that last week. I'm still seething.
Don't do it again. Tony Watt's desperate for his first win on Beat the Pundit. If you fancy it tonight, it's 01419511025, and the lines do, as always, close at 7.
Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde 1 Super Scoreboard.
Alex Ray and Tony Watt are here. Still plenty of time. We've just started the second half, so give us a call on 0141 951 1025. Transfer window dominating the conversation as always. What about the actual game tomorrow, Celtic fans, and how you feel about Europe and all that sort of stuff? Because there's a proper chance here. Win the game against a team that's already out and progress. You always want a form of European progression. Does it feel different this season because there's so much emphasis now being placed on the title race and so on? Give us a call whilst we play this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Okay, Beat the Pundit time. One of these two, Tony Watt disgraced his family last week. He had them all watching, then he lost. You actually, how many did you get right? Five. And still lost. That is harsh. I will grant you that. That is harsh. One of them will play Chris, who's a Rangers fan. How is it going, Chris?
How you doing, Gordon? All right.
And I believe you are somewhere between here and Porto, essentially.
We left this morning. Five is in the car. We're driving to Bristol. We're about half an hour away from Bristol. We fly to Porto in the morning.
Talk about dedication.
Brilliant.
Driving to Bristol, you'd as well driving to Portugal. Drive the full way.
For sake. It's only about 5 or 6 hours to Bristol, surely.
Is it?
It's only 5 or 6. How long does it take you to get to Bristol, boys?
6 and a half, it took us.
And then a flight. Oh my goodness, that's commitment.
Dedication.
But the look in your faces, because you know it's 5 against 1, whatever one you play.
DL told me not to trust that.
Gordon DL would be furious at this.
Is that right?
He doesn't like it when he's teamed
people
up.
People are helping.
Never mind 5.
Well, Bobby, you look a wee bit dejected.
Yeah, he's worried.
I'm a bit nervous after last week. Five and losing hurt. The next day, you coming out of training tell.
Did you get it tight at training last week when you lost?
He came in, he's like, what about him losing? And I was biting, I was right on the hook. Five, I got five.
Anyway, what we'll do, Chris and team, is we'll toss the coin. The blue side will be for Tony Watt. The other side for Alex Ray. We'll maybe get that round the wrong way, but that's the seat.
Yeah, Tony likes it blue.
Blue for Tony and red.
that can't
be Rangers fans.
That's no Rangers. They must be singing something else. It must not be my name.
Aye, exactly. Right, let's see how it's going to go. And it is. Oh, it is. He's back in the saddle.
Tony.
When I lost, I'm celebrating for you.
I'm
buzzing.
I think we're going to see videos from the inside of this car on social media later. That's my prediction. Right, I'm probably asking a lot of you here. Don't swear. Can you promise me that, Chris?
Good.
You do sound okay. And just try your best, Chris, for you to give me the final answer, because it'll be hard to keep up. Right, okay, let's do it. Tony, let's give him something else to listen to. Chris and his four mates, 30 seconds on the clock. Just answer as many as you can and pass if you don't know the answer, okay?
Cool.
Right, good man. Men, your 30 seconds on the clock and your time starts now. How many league games have Rangers won in a row? Who's the only current Celtic player who was previously signed by Barcelona?
Pass.
Which side have got the fewest league points in the entire SPFL? Which Scotland international currently plays for Udinese? Name the last Scottish team Glenn Middleton played for. How many points separate Motherwell and Celtic?
Five.
Which current League One side play their home games at Broadwood?
Okay.
Let's bring back Tony Watt. Can you hear us? Don't give anything away, you lot. Don't let it know how that went. Can you hear us, Tony?
Yes, I can. I was trying to block it a bit more, so yeah. I didn't cheat, and I was trying to close my eyes.
You try to be honest about what would you mean? Do you previously cheat? Or?
No, because I don't want to be looking at your mouth and trying
he's a master.
And then I realised the camera was on me. I had my eyes closed and I realised I must have looked a bit stupid.
This is not my first rodeo. I try and hide behind the mic so that you guys can't see us. Anyway, 30 seconds, Tony. Same set of questions. Your time starts now. How many league games have Rangers won in a row?
6.
Name the only current Celtic player who was previously signed by Barcelona.
Araujo.
Which side has the fewest league points in the entire SPFL?
Livingston.
Which Scotland international plays for Udinese?
Lenny Miller.
Name the last Scottish team Glenn Middleton played for.
Dundee United.
How many points separate Motherwell and Celtic?
5.
Which current League One side play their home games at Broadwood?
Hamilton.
Which Moroccan AFCON finalist has previously played in Scotland?
You've got me.
Okay. Is that your way of saying pass? Chris and company, what do you think?
If you put that last one there, I think you would just have clutched it, but I think it's going to be a tiebreaker, man.
It's a good game. It's a really good game. Right, let's go through them.
Oh, not a game.
How many league games? How many league games? I tried to emphasise it, of Rangers won in a row. It is 6. Tony got it, and the car full of Rangers fans got it wrong.
Oh, fault, by the way.
They went diving in on eight. I said league games. Tony Watt has got better Rangers knowledge than the fans driving to Bristol and Porto. Yeah. There you go. It's 1-0 to Tony. The only Celtic player who was previously signed by Barcelona is Julian Araujo. Tony Watt, 2-0 up. Chris, what's happening here?
No, you're beating
it. However, there was genuinely good knowledge in the car, because the fewest league points in the entire SPFL is Livy, but Tony got it as well. Yeah. Lennon Miller plays for Udinese, but Tony got it as well. And I'm a bit annoyed here, Chris. I'll stick up for you a bit. This guy was with Lennon Miller last season, and probably the season before was with Glenn Middleton at Dundee United. This is what happens when you've played for every team.
And Declan Gallagher was a question last week. Mark O'Hara was with him as well.
I know it has gone, but you felt that sorry for Tony. You just had to let him win.
No, but to be fair, you knew Glenn Middleton as well. The guys also knew that Motherwell and Celtic were separated by 5 points, and they kicked themselves a bit because they kind of knew their mistake. I had to accept the first answer. It is Hamilton who play at Broadwood. Oh, Tony Watt. At this point, you've got every single question.
And I know the
right.
Morocco one. He went off with ACL. Been,
who?
Igamani.
Man, you didn't get it right, so you can't go for the 10. You could have joined an exclusive club there. But anyway, it was enough for a win. It was a 7-4 victory.
I'm getting dinner tonight.
Boys, you ought to see him in the studio, but he's like a Cheshire cat.
I'm getting fed tonight.
Chris,
you can get a pair of socks.
Chris, it means one pair of socks between five of them.
Five. I'm in a good mood.
I swear to God, I'm taking the morning after it in.
Unbearable.
Seven's tremendous. What an effort.
Right, Chris, I take it the trip was just booked already, and then who cares if it's a dead rubber? You're going for a couple of days in Porto and enjoying it.
We're back on Friday night, and then we've got a drive up the road straight early this morning. So it'll be a good couple of days, man. We're looking forward to it. It's obviously the qualification for us this year, but I'm looking forward to a wee trip away.
So are you at the stage, be honest, where you could not care less how the game goes, or is there still something to be gained?
No,
is there
of course you still want to go game and away, and you still want to obviously win every single game. And I think the way that Danny Rome's got in the way he's got the team playing and performing, he's got his playing really, really well. So if we go out there, we get a win. Hopefully
we can maybe try and stop Porto
to qualify, because they're going to want to grind that tape. So anything's decent, man, but
we'll
just see what happens.
Good. When are you due in Bristol?
About 22
minutes to be precise. That is very precise. Chris, you were a good company. Appreciate it. You were good sports as well. It's not often we get five people in one car going to a football match and they come on for 10 minutes and don't swear.
Never beat five people in his life.
Never beat one.
There we go.
You guys have a good night.
Thank you, Chris.
And you, mate. And safe travels.
I don't even know who the rest. I should have really asked who the rest of them were, just to give them a wee mention. Chris and his four unnamed pals.
The biggest question would be, how long before you have your first beer?
What?
About 35 minutes.
I think they sounded very
sensible.
Okay.
Yeah, I know.
It's the nicest enough. Rangers fans have been to me in a while. They were lovely, them.
Lovely. Oh,
lovely.
They were lovely. Strange. It's been a strange show. There you go. You happy now, finally?
Buzzing.
Good. That was what a performance.
By the way, last week with five as well was harsh. The boy was good.
But you suddenly have to then sort of, you know, reassess your
Igamani.
Goals. Igamani, and you'd have been going for the 10.
What's the next two?
Go on, ask him just out of curiosity.
Producers will be raging because they need to come up with two new questions for tomorrow.
Come on.
Which current Scottish Premiership manager won the Scottish Cup as a player in 2006?
McInnes?
Nah, forget it. Stephen Presley. Hopeless. You're rubbish. Uh-huh. There you go.
McInnes probably.
What's a good fact about that? If you take it a stage further, Stephen Presley won it back-to-back seasons with two different clubs.
Mm-hmm.
Hearts and Rangers?
Celtic. Same as Paul Hartley, yeah? Would that be right? It's good. Good,
a bit of knowledge.
Good little Arsene, so. Period for him, yeah.
Right.
You've now made me doubt. You've made me doubt myself.
The 10 questions I wasted time.
Nah, I forget it. Exactly. No point. You're not that should get two wrong. What was the point in giving you
I
the
know.
10th question?
You should have stopped at 6.
He's delighted with himself, wasn't he? Look at that. He's Mrs. Watt not been in touch yet. No.
No, yeah, that's she said dinner's on the table for you coming home.
Good. After you went hungry last week. Right. 0141 951 1025. That is the number that you need. So please do get in touch. Let us know what you're thinking, whether it is transfer window and all that sort of stuff, or whether it's the European games tomorrow. Quite keen to hear from you Celtic fans, because there's plenty more discussion to be had on the transfers, for sure. We did a bit at the start, but then also this is a proper big game. This is a game with European progression on the line, Tony, and it's funny to even imagine a discussion. I know people going back to it, it's almost become a bit of a cliche, but one more time, when the full time whistle goes that night in Munich, the thought that in the next European campaign you might, I'm not saying it's valid, but you might be going, oh, is it about Europa League, or do you want to just focus on the Premiership? That's such a quick decline in that regard, isn't it?
The dreamer in you thinks, you see the performance against Bayern and you think, this is only going one way. Celtic are kicking on, they're going to win everything in the league domestically, they're going to win everything, and then they're going to challenge with the big boys when they come up against your teams that, like, I always go back to, like, your kind of lower top teams in terms of, like, Ajax, Benfica, Bruges. They'll compete, and then when they go to Bayerns, Juves, they won't get scalped. They'll maybe go and give them a game. They'll maybe go and beat your Ajax, Benficas. And now, if you had to play any of them as a Celtic team, you're probably expecting to lose. Obviously, the Feyenoord game was fantastic. It was a great result. But personally, me, as growing up as a Celtic fan when I was younger, playing there, seeing what the expectations are when you're there, Celtic should be beating Feyenoord for me. They should be beating these teams.
Utrecht tomorrow as well.
Yeah, they should be beating Utrecht. Even Bologna, Celtic should be beating. You watch it years ago and you see Celtic beating Juventus, Liverpool, these teams in the Champions League or Europa League. For me, Celtic, with the money they've got, should be blowing Utrecht out of the water. But I still fancy them to beat them tomorrow, but we always go back to it. Is the squad big enough? If they beat them, then they've got another competition to negotiate. Celtic should never be in that position.
Alex, it's quite an obvious list of benefits. You get European progression, that sort of speaks for itself. The money that comes with it, you know, the chance to make something of yourself in the competition. We don't know who they'll get. Maybe they do get a good draw. I know Celtic aren't in brilliant form, but arguably the two better performances this season would be Feyenoord away and Bologna away, for different reasons. You do almost detect that amongst some Celtic fans, though, where they just can't take their eyes off how important this Premiership title race is in the transfer window. You can do both at once, I suppose.
Yeah, and I would expect them to go through tomorrow night, Gordon. And it's interesting because of the way that it's set up as well. You get an opportunity to play somebody around about whatever it looks like, the top 9, 10, 11th in that pecking order. So, but, you know, there's teams like Genk and all that still in there. So there's an opportunity to progress even further if you can win tomorrow night. And the coefficient obviously needs looking after as well. And I just think that getting a run in that breeds confidence. If they bring a couple of players in the next couple of days as well, then Celtic are still very well placed to have a really good season.
Let's go to the phones, because the phone call's still coming in about various topics tonight. There's loads out there. Please jump on board as well if you hear something you want to pick up on. Let's do that. Paul's in Edinburgh. How are you, Paul?
Hi, guys. Hi, panel. How are you doing?
Paul. Good, thanks. Good.
Hope you're all going to have a good night. Particularly Tony, can I just say, the best night of my life as a Celtic fan at the Barcelona game that night. Unreal.
I've heard him mention it before, Paul, once or twice.
Yeah.
Actually brought it up recently, yeah.
But I'd just like to kind of cut to the chase, you know. I don't know why we're holding back on signings, and you've got Martin O'Neill in there. I mean, we've got the money in the bank. Why not? You know, look at what Rangers are doing, and this is always for me as a Celtic fan, right? You know, everybody's gone on, you know, Tisdale and Thelwell, but actually, if you look at what Thelwell's saying is that they've been offered, 10 million for Gassama, 13 million for Tchouaméni. I mean, nobody's offering that sort of money for Shin Yamada or Balakwisha. So, I mean, I think we are in serious, serious danger at this point in time of looking at being third in the league and embarrassing Martin O'Neill. Because we're not going to put the money out. And at this point in time, my point is that the board is just not fit for purpose. You know, and look, I'm 42 years old, right? So I lived through the biscuit tin board, and this is about where we are back at right now. We're, you know, they're saying your man from Bodo Glimt, we're going to get outbid by Norwich. That's a joke. That's a joke for Celtic. Celtic getting outbid by Norwich for a striker. That is a joke. And, you know, your boy Fofana, to buy him outright, we're not going to put that money out. Now, strikers like that, players like that, they carry their transfer weight. They'll keep their transfer weight. So even if he doesn't work out for us, we could still ship him in a year for 9 million, same as we did with Adam Eder. Now, what's going on with Celtic right now is a joke. Michael Nicholson needs to go. The whole footballing department needs to be revolutionised. It needs to be modernised. It needed to be modernised after the COVID season. And it's just not good enough. And what we really, really need, and I'll be absolutely honest with you, is when Celtic pulled themselves into being a modern club was because Fergus McCann came in and did that. Dermot Desmond is sitting doing nothing. We need another Fergus McCann. Someone to pull the club into the modern era. Because right now, you look at Rangers, look, they've got their faults, but the 49ers guys that are running them, they appointed a good coach, they got rid of Russell Martin, they kept the players they think are good, and they brought players in. And look at us, we've done virtually nothing. It's just not acceptable.
I suppose what is interesting about that, I think Paul covers some good ground, Tony, in the sense that a lot of the focus right now is like, just get through this transfer window. Like, whatever you need to do, get through this window, sign a couple of loans, get through, make sure your team's better at the end of the window than it was at the start. That's going to be hard enough. Then what's next? And I know that people don't want to look too far ahead anyway when you've got this priority, but what does it look like? What is that structure? Is it time for a director of football, sporting director? Does Paul Tisdale get replaced directly? Then, of course, there's the issue of who's going to be the manager next season. So I know it's kind of a period of flux, but the problem is because you're trying to make this window a good one, you're also paying for the previous mistakes. Paul mentioned Balakwisha. He cost £5 million, by all accounts, is on a very healthy wage at Celtic and is not in a position to contribute to the first team in any meaningful way.
Yeah, I think it's time for Celtic to get through this window, which, again, we shouldn't be saying. Celtic Rangers shouldn't be at a point where you're saying, get through a window, get players in. There should already have been
succession plan.
Yes, Celtic Rangers can't have, and I'm not saying Rangers are, I'm just saying it's size of clubs. Celtic, he mentioned Celtic need to modernise the football department. I totally agree. I don't think these people at board level are as much a problem as it's made out. I think what you probably need is a director of football, head of recruitment and a manager all on the same page with people underneath them worldwide, which Celtic Rangers should be scouting for the best talent. Celtic, it can't always be the manager that signs players at Celtic. It needs to be a joint effort because managers, and I will know what in a backroom staff, that managers want success now. Football clubs, directors of footballers, owners, whatever, want to make profit while having success. And I don't think either is wrong. If you've got a director of football, head of recruitment and a manager all pushing the same way, it can make for a healthy football club as long as there's results on the pitch, which Celtic need at the moment. And I think that's probably, with the next managerial appointment, it needs to be somebody that fits in this model where everybody's pulling together and not pushing against each other.
Thank you very much to Paul, 0141 951 1025. Jump on board just now if you can, and we'll speak next.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Tony Watt and Alex Ray are here. 0141 951 1025. This time tomorrow we'll be getting the European action underway. Of course, Rangers over in Porto. Maybe more about pride and momentum and confidence and coefficient points for Celtic, very much an easy incentive. Win the game, go through. There is a scenario where a draw is enough, but I don't think we've got enough time, or these two have got the attention span for me to run through all of those permutations. That's me just trying to cover up for the fact that I probably couldn't explain it all. So let's think of it simple. Celtic win and they're through. I'm going to do a full time teaser before we bring Marty in on the line. Good question this. Nathan from Gourock says, can you name 7 managers to have won at least one of the major trophies in Scotland since 2005, having also won the same trophy as a player? So can you name 7 managers who've won at least one of the major trophies since 2005? They've also won that same trophy as a player.
McLeish?
Yes, he won the SPL in 2005. And you heard about that? You're right.
What happened?
If Tony Watt's not allowed to talk about Barcelona, you're not allowed to talk about Helicopter Sunday. These are the rules. All right,
can we agree on that? I'm happy.
Alex McLeish won that and the League Cup. So yeah, he's one of
Lennon.
The answers. Yes,
nice.
Every trophy he's won them all as player and manager. One more guess,
McInnes.
Tony? Yes, won the League Cup with Aberdeen and won it in 97 for Rangers. Let's leave it there, because that's 3 down, 4 to get. You're doing well, and it's a very good question that. Thank you to Nathan and Gourock for sending it in. The address you need to send your questions to us is fulltime@clyde1.com. Marty is on in Livingston. How are you, Marty?
Good evening, guys. How are you doing?
All good, Marty. Here. All good. How does it feel to be a Hearts fan this week?
Well, honestly, mate, the season's been absolutely fantastic so far. It's probably exceeded what we expectations that we've done last year, eh? And what I would say about Hearts now is what they've got in that dressing room, I don't think the Rangers Celtic have got is like the team spirit they've got. They're all fighting for each other. There's like a camaraderie there. There's something there that's going to take it right to the wire between like Rangers, Celtic and Hearts. And I do believe that the 3 of them will be there to the death. I really do believe that, eh?
And are your team going to win it?
Well, do you know what, mate? Everybody says that they've got as much chance to win it as Rangers and Celtic. Now, we're 4 points clear. It's on our own hands, basically. You know, if we keep on winning, there will be twists and turns between now and the end of the season. There's no doubt about that, eh? But it's like, we've got a good squad there now. We've got another couple. There's Rodgers, Matty will win this week. Adu's coming back. And apparently, Devlin and Shankland, they'll back for the Aberdeen at the end of February, which I was reading the day on, like, one like the Hearts Standards page. And it was also basically Mark Leonard's came in as a stupid bit of business for basically Birmingham. Had a shaky 10 minutes, but after that he just grew in the game. He's going to be a very good player for us this year. And the back four kind of speaks itself. Halkett and Finlay, they've been absolutely colossus for us. 2 good keepers, and basically Alexander Swallow and Craig Gordon, goes without saying, eh? And there'll be another striker coming, so there's no doubt about that as well. I'm quitting that. But I think basically what we've got and what Rangers Celtic having to go is like a right solidness. We've seen that Celtic team on Sunday. It was like they were just, their heads were down. They just didn't seem to be interested. They didn't seem to be fighting. There was nothing. You know what I mean? It's unusual for it to see a Celtic team like that. What does the panel think, please?
Hearts team spirit, Marty reckons, could be the key.
Yeah, I agree. We spoke about the boys out of contract next year who you would have, we said about like Halkett, Shankland, Cammy Devlin, people who know the Scottish League and who are performing at their best level. Also their manager. Derek McInnes has always had teams who are fighting, always had strong physical teams who know how to score goals, know how to be direct, and I think it kind of seeps into their team. And I think Hearts, if anybody had to say something about Hearts this year, it's how ready they are for a fight, how ready they are to get the ball forward. And but the thing that separates them this year is they've got the bits of quality with Shankland, Braga, Kizaridis, for me.
Yeah, listen, I actually like their team spirit. There's a lot of kind of resilience through that full squad. I think the fact that even when they lost Halkett for a couple of games and that as well, they managed to negotiate that. The manager is vastly experienced now as well. They're also in their favour, the top of the set piece charts by a considerable bit when you look at, you know, the return from that as well. And I think he's absolutely right as well. I think they'll probably bring another number nine in, because I think at the top end, if anything happens to Shanks for an extended, or he was unlucky enough to get another injury on the back of this one, then I think you're a bit light in that particular area. So I think teams will identify where they're that little bit weak, and then if you're going to add in this window, which I suspect that Hearts will do, it will be a number nine.
Marty, is there anything that dents your confidence? What's the bit that you're not sure about? You know, is it kind of obviously that lack of having done it before, or something you see in the other teams? Is there anything that holds you back a little bit?
Well, as you can, like, you kind of basically the last, like, is it 18 years or something, it's not been a duopoly in Scotland. It's been a monopoly, apart from one season with Rangers. Celtic have dominated that. Mm. There's that. You can never ever count it Celtic, never, you know what I mean? I mean, even like, you know, like if you're like one each or like 5 minutes to go, you know that they've got the opportunity for to go and score like an hour goal, you know what I mean? They've just got that fight in them, eh? And I do think that will come back to them once, Dingby. Rangers as well, I mean, obviously they've spent like mega. There's more than like Hearts and that have spent, like Celtic spent as well, you know what I mean? So you kind of basically put them out there, but the players are brought in, obviously, they're obviously quality players. You know what I mean? You can't say they're like just like journeymen, because they're not. But it's as well, we'll just have to wait and see how it goes. I said it's like, if we finish, if somebody said to me at the start of the year, you'd be where you are now, 12 months down the line, and bit their hand off for it.
Compared to
where we were last year, when Neil Critchley and that, it's like, and a lot of the players that's here this year, like, were there under Critchley last year, but he couldn't, you know what I mean? I don't know. He wasn't a Hearts manager. Nice guy, but just wasn't he? What I mean?
See, when you're talking about the way things have shifted, how disappointed would you be to finish third from now? Because this time last year, you take that, especially if it's a strong third, but you've been at the top for so long now, Marty.
Absolutely, you'd be disappointed, but at the same time, it's like, it's just a building process. This is just like the first rung of the ladder for Hearts. And with Tony Bloom coming in his vestment and that, and the Jamestown Analytics, this is just the start of very, very exciting time for Hearts, I think, eh? Definitely, you know what I mean? We're not going to be a one-season flash in the pan. We're going to build on this. There's no doubt in my mind about that.
Yeah, that's it. And that'll be the plan. Tony Bloom said a lot of big things when he came in and spoke about 10 years, and that's the whole point. It is supposed to be a project. You spent time in Belgium, probably at a time when USG weren't really a thing. Would that be fair, or had they just started that journey?
They were, I think when I left, they were maybe second division. Because
yeah, that's what I mean. So I remember, and you think you were over as well.
The reason I remember the name is because they tried to sign Shanks when Dundee United were trying to sign him, and I think he went to Dundee United, and they went for the second division, and I think they won it within 3 years. You look at the Brighton model, and you go, right, impressive. Doing it in the Premier League, not really challenging for trophies, maybe mid-table to...
But an incredible model, Tony.
An incredible model, but you're
USG's
like...
USG's always been the one, hasn't it?
Can they win trophies? That's what you would ask, right? But he's got USG at the side, upsetting the apple cart. And we've both been in Belgium. When I was there, Anderlecht, they were saying that they get X amount of money for winning the league. Was it 15 million or whatever? They had massive players. We played against them when they had either Good Johnson... Bruges, they've got the big boy Van Aken, plays with Belgium. They've got so many players that have won it. So you're thinking, it's not as if they've went to Belgium and went, oh, this is an easy league. That's a really tough league where Gent, Genk, Anderlecht, Bruges, and there's one more that challenges, I can't remember. It's not, Celtic's, Hearts are going to need to put Celtic and Rangers, two teams. It's realistic that he comes in, and this year, I don't even think we've seen the start of Tony Bloom. I think they've got it all right. Everything's went well. I think 2 or 3 years down the line, we'll be going, this guy's too cool. He's a genius.
I don't want to wish this season away, because I really want to know what this looks like first.
Absolutely.
But it will be interesting. If I was a Hearts fan like Marty, I think that's how I would view it. Go, do you know what? See, even if we can't get this over the line, this is the start of something. Yeah. We're only going to get better, and we're going nowhere. At the same time, they've got that niggle that says, are you going to get a better chance than this? Are you going to get a time in Celtic and Rangers are as bad as they have been at different times? Obviously there was the Russell Martin, the Wilfried Nancy,
yeah.
So I don't know, we'll find out in the future.
No, and I think it's a really good debate. It's the way I put it was, it was a perfect storm, because Rangers started terribly, and then obviously the Nancy period was really poor, whereas the thing for Hearts is they've shown a consistency throughout the course of the season. They had a little spell with a little wobble, but they quickly get back to winning ways. And again, one thing we've not mentioned is, when it comes to head to head, I think they've played the Old Firm five times, four wins and one draw. So, you know, they're going into these games now thinking, do you know what, we've got the beating of these teams.
Probably unlucky not to get the win. If the game's 5-10 minutes longer at the weekend,
possibly, yeah,
they could probably get the win. And it's incredible to see for Hearts, because sometimes you get the odd win against Old Firm, maybe two, maybe a three in a season. But this, they've negotiated 4 out of 5 with one draw as well.
Was the weekend, in true Clyde One Super Scoreboard fashion, Marty, for obvious reasons, we've not really spoke much about what the weekend meant to Hearts. We've spoken an awful lot about Austin Trustee's red card and maybe Celtic's part in it. Overall, are you like happy with a point? Was that an okay outcome for Hearts at the weekend?
See, to be honest, right, it's like I was happy with a point as well, right, but at the same time I was like a bit disappointed it wasn't 3. You know what I mean? It could have been like 9 points again, but it's obviously it's still 6 between Rangers, between Hearts and Celtic, and 4 between Hearts and Rangers, eh? It was a perfect result for Rangers, right? Because my mate at the work said it was a draw would suit us. I goes, I understand, I get that. But it's like it was one of the games. It was, to my point, I thought Celtic only really created 3 chances, and that's really unlike like clear chances for like a Celtic team, you know what I mean? Because they're usually like at you for the word go. But it was like Hearts never gave them a time to settle. Hearts were on them, you know what I mean? It was like, and I know like the midfield, I thought the midfield was quite powder puff for Celtic. I thought Arne Engels was like, he was like, was that a wee kid? It was just like, it was like overawed, you know. And I'm not going to say this, but we bullied them. We actually bullied them in the middle of the park, and Braga doing the sides, going left, going right sometimes, Kizaridi's going left, you know what I mean? And we stretched them, and it was encouraging to see. It really was a point, fair enough, aye, but I would have preferred the 3, obviously.
I think Celtic got bullied.
Yeah, I'd say so, aye.
I think at times of the game Hearts probably outfought them, yeah, but I wouldn't say bullied. I don't think Celtic's midfield is really, obviously McGregor gets in about it, I don't think Engels is going to go in and overpower people. I don't think Negrin's really going to do it, but Celtic usually play their way out the madness, and I don't think they did on Sunday. I don't think they get bullied, but I don't think they,
do you think they get drawn into what Hearts were looking to do?
And that's not their game. I think, see, normally maybe at Parkhead Celtic would have played out of that and kept their composure, and with the fans, with the atmosphere at Tynecastle, with what's on the game, I think Celtic gets sucked into a physical game, and I don't think that is what the profile of Celtic's midfield three really is at the moment. And I wouldn't say bullied, I'd just say Hearts had a game plan, got Celtic sucked in with it and executed their game plan. And I think Hearts will be delighted with the point. I think Celtic will probably have hoped for all 3, just for the, I think the result suits Hearts more than it suits Celtic.
No, I totally agree with that. And listen, I think when you look at the Finlay and Engels situation on the touchline, I think people look and go, "Why they're bullying them not?" But that was really only time in the game that I think it was quite highly fought. Really, I thought both teams were really in amongst it. And you know, and obviously Celtic have got the argument with the red card, but I still thought they were very much in the game. You know, they were dealing with it, because Hearts throw a lot at you. See, when you're dealing with these set pieces, it's, you know, there's such a threat there, and they managed to only concede the 2, but you know, they're such a threat at it, it becomes,
even Hearts' presence, see, for the 2 Kizaridis chances, was it where he's running down Trusty, makes Trusty make a mistake.
The
2 wingers are, people say, oh, you're missing Shankly, you're missing it. These 2 wingers they've been relentless, they've been
pressing
absolutely brilliant. And that chance, they wait for the time, they weren't fully pressing, they wait for the time to jump. And I think Derek McInnes' game plan, like he's been always good at, is, it's not really a bullying, it's more a smell, fear,
smell blood,
attack. And I think they executed it brilliantly.
Marty, thank you very much. Enjoy the rest of the season if you can. Maybe we'll speak before then anyway. I'll take one more guess on the teaser. Nathan and Guruk sent in a cracker for you. Can you name 7 managers who've won at least one major trophy in Scotland since 2005, having also won that trophy as a player? So Neil Lennon did that with all the trophies. Derek McInnes did it with the League Cup, Aberdeen, and back in his Rangers playing days. Alex McLeish did it with a couple of trophies.
Yep. Levine?
No.
What about Yogi?
He never won the cup at Celtic. He did win it with Inverness.
Stubbs?
Yes. Alan Stubbs is on the list. Yes, he was an unused sub, 2001 Scottish Cup final.
Good shout, Tony.
And won it with Hibs. Three answers to get, we'll get them when we return.
Clyde One's Cash for Kids, 5k a day, with 101 convenience stores. Open every day until 10 p.m. Visit them in store or get it delivered to your home.
What's Tony Watt's 5k time at Partick Thistle training, would we say?
Do you know, we were speaking about this yesterday. We
we're on air, yes, very much.
We were speaking about this yesterday in lockdown. I'm not much of a long distance runner.
No, that shocks
in
me.
In lockdown I put a, thanks for that, that's, I put a score up, and Luke Macbeth remembered it. It was like 23 something
years,
and I got absolutely abused to the point where I had to delete it. It was like, you're a professional footballer, and I had to reply saying, I'm a striker, I'm not really going to be running up and down.
Well, the good thing is you can walk to take part in this challenge. It is, really is for everybody. Whether it's a new year, new you type thing, or you just want to help us out, we really would appreciate your help. It's Clyde One Cash for Kids. It's 5k a day all throughout February. So why not take on the daily 5k, raise money for Cash for Kids. It will make such a huge difference to young lives across Glasgow and the West. So like I said, run it, walk it, jog it, whatever you like. You'll be getting fit, feeling good, helping make a difference in the community as well. So get involved now at Clyde1.com. It's Cash for Kids, 5k a day with 101 convenience stores.
This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Another quick show. We're into the final part of tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. There is still time though to squeeze in a call. If there's something you're just desperate to get off your chest, we would love to hear it. A quick look at the teaser before we go on. It is the 7 managers who've won at least one major trophy in Scotland since 05, having also won the same trophy as a player. Neil Lennon, he's done it with every trophy. Alan Stubbs with the Scottish Cup. Derek McInnes with the League Cup. Alex McLeish with the League and the League Cup. 2-3 to get.
Danny Lennon.
Well done. League Cup winning manager, yes, with St Mirren, and League Cup winning player. I think he missed the final, but nevertheless with the Raith Rovers. Do we know anybody else that played in that Raith? Nah, I can't think of anyone. No one springs to mind. Right, you've got 2 to get. We'll get them before the end. Andrew is a Thistle fan. See, well, the Thistle fans, yes, always come on when you two are here. Andrew, what's happening?
How you doing, guys? You okay?
Good, thanks. Good. I'll just sit back. You're not interested in talking to me. On you go.
No, I just thought I would call up. Obviously, the big difference a week kind of can make in football. Obviously, before Saturday, we were 5 points behind. St John's with a game in hand, looking possibly going 8 clear. Then we get the good win on Saturday and St Johnstone slip up against Inferman. And now if we go up on Friday night to Perth and we can get a win, I think it'll be the first time this season we've actually been mathematically cleared at the top. Obviously St Johnstone will still have their game in hand, but I think it'll be a big psychological boost if we can do that.
Looking forward to it.
Yeah, buzzing. That's the games you want to play in, the big games. It's all well and good playing against the teams near the bottom and winning or drawing, but you need to turn up in these games on a TV on a Friday night for two teams potentially going and challenging for a league title.
I'm looking forward to it as well. You always look forward to playing against the quality that St Johnstone possess, and I think it's one apiece. I think the opening day we get spanked really, and then obviously at our place we get a good result. So listen, we acknowledge.
Can you imagine what the studio in here was like on that Saturday as St Johnstone goals were raining in? Can you imagine Gordon Dale's face?
I know. Listen, he gloats at everybody else's misery. This guy is the guy that kind of gloats on misery. But anyway, I think we're all looking forward to it. And I'm pleased it's on the TV as well. I think it'll be a good spectacle. Mm-hmm.
What is the... Be honest, right? Because this is not a normal interview, so none of you are, you're banned. Don't talk to me about one game at a time. Don't talk to me about only concentrating on yourselves. How long after full time on Saturday do you check the St Johnstone result?
Well, when I come in, somebody says that St Johnstone was losing because they'd not go about 8 or 9 minutes into injury time. And
no, somebody said St Johnstone have lost. And then somebody else said that
was still playing.
Was a long aye, because yeah, you stand next to me, don't you? Right,
I
know gap.
I always stand at the gap, but I walked in and I was looking at the live scores and it's taken away. I'm like, fight, blow the whistle, you know, the usual. And then all of a sudden, it went up to about eight something. And you're thinking,
is that like, again? I know there is a serious part of concentrating on yourselves because you can you know, you can't influence what other teams do, but is it enjoyable to almost be part of that kind of title race? I think I mentioned earlier at Ibrox at the weekend when it's cheers are going in because Hearts have scored. You know, that sort of thing.
My fear signing, and I spoke to the manager about it, he'll tell you, is just trodden onto fourth position. Like, I didn't want to come here, and everybody, I think the expectations, there was problems at the club, and people were saying, oh, if we have a good season, we finish mid-table, and for what? Just to play 36 games, and that was never my intention. I always wanted to come and challenge for something, second spot, first spot, whatever it was, because first, obviously, you win the league, you go up automatically, but there's a big incentive for second place as well in terms of skipping that first two games. You get an extra break mentally. You think, only need to negotiate one tie, and you've got the Premiership team. But no, it's exciting. You need to check the rivals' results, whether it's St Johnstone, whether it's Dunfermline, Arbroath, Raith. You check them all, and I think that's just, it's just natural in that kind of position. Obviously, it is one game at a time. You can go and win five games in a row and be up the top. You can go and lose five games in a row. It's the maddest league out there for me, the Championship.
What do you think, Andrew? Like the sound of that, Tony Watt was setting his sights high from day one.
Yeah, certainly. I mentioned it a few months ago when I called up that, touching on the second place point, I think my main focus the last few months has been staying clear of third, just because of exactly what Tony said there with the extra break and the two less games. But I think now that the situation is that we're in, we've got to really be looking to challenge first, I think, as well, just keeping players fit and retaining players. I know obviously there's a couple of guys sniffing about Stanley at the moment, but fingers crossed we can hold on to him at the end of the season. And as well as Tony up front, I think Alex Samuel on Saturday, I've never ever seen, it's one of the best performances I've seen of an individual Thistle player, to be honest with you. I think Kevin Holt and the young King went home and had nightmares at night thinking about playing against him. His fitness and his work rate was unbelievable. I'd say the same about Tony, but I did hear about his 5k time, so I think I'd be able to hold more there.
Totally agree.
I definitely think that now that the position we're in, we're now into late January, if we can get that result on Friday, which looks like it's going to be on a pretty tough pitch. I saw a couple of videos from Saturday of the St Johnstone pitch. Usually we'd have said that would have suited them over the years, but I think they like to get the ball down now. So I think if it is tough, we've certainly got strengths that we can play the long ball and make use of that.
And great poker face from you last week when we said, you said, yeah, I mean, hopefully we can bring Ocean Smith back. He was signed about 10 past 8.
Yeah, sure. I'd met him that day for a coffee.
Honestly, it was about 10.
He told me.
I hadn't even turned the car on leaving the studio when I noticed he'd been signed again.
Yeah, I know.
In other exclusives.
Well, he knew as well.
Have we announced any players today?
No, don't start that, Kerry. No,
I've seen it though, because it's the guy that was in loan at Motherwell last season. You took it earlier in the season. You
I'm can keep strangled tomorrow.
You can keep your opinions to yourself, and I'll just announced? Do it. I read it earlier, you didn't tell me.
I seen it on the thing yesterday.
Daily Record, yesterday, exactly. Partick Thistle to seal Esiosa Sully loan swoop as striker gets quick fire SPFL return.
That? You ever heard
of him? Seriously, who's reporting that? No comment. No he's comment. Got a Partick Thistle tracksuit on here.
We'd defer.
He's got a pair of Play Essential socks.
Oh, aye, big guy. Great guy.
There we go. Right, we're nearly out of time. Thank you to Andrew. Look forward to seeing him line up left for Partick Thistle. Two, so managers that have won a major trophy in Scotland since 2005. They've also won that trophy as a player. Lennon Stubbs, McInnes, Danny Lennon, Alex McLeish, two to get.
Butcher?
Nope.
Gio?
Yes, won the Scottish Cup as player and manager. Dare I say it, you're missing one of the obvious ones.
Good, it's not good, isn't it?
No, more obvious, as in one of the big two, the great playing career as well. Who would be the Celtic managers that you've not mentioned? You mentioned Neil Lennon, you've mentioned, wasn't Ronnie Dyla, obviously, or Ange, none of them
Strachan?
Played here. Yes, Gordon
Honest.
Strachan.
There you go.
Welcome
to the quiz.
Thank you to Tony Watt and Alex Ray. Cannot wait to hear how news of Tony's Beat the Pundit victory goes down at Peters Hill tomorrow. I'm sure everybody will hear all about it. Thank you very much to you all for listening and calling. Big night in Europe tomorrow. Make sure you join Andrew and the guys from 6 o'clock.